Blog Talk Radio.
You are, yes, so you are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. Holy, righteous, proper, ages, most high, yes, so you are worthy. Faithful teacher, promise keeper, savior, yes, so you are worthy. Yes, for you are worthy, sovereign master, my creator, God.
Good morning and blessings to everybody. I'm going to open up real quick in prayer. Father God, I bless you and I honor you and I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are worthy to be praised, Lord God. We thank you because you are omnipotent, you are infallible, Lord God. You are excellent. You are amazing, Father. You are our lover of our soul, Father God. And you are worthy, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time, Lord God, as we go in and talk about prayer, Father. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your anointing, Father God, be on top of your word, Father God, and that it touched the heart of many people, Father. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that this draws people, Father God, to want to build a relationship with you, Father, that will give them a sure foundation, Father God, and a stable life, Father. So I thank you, Lord God, for each listener, Father God, whether it be today or in the future, Father God. But I thank you, Lord, that you are blessing their lives, Lord God, through the power of your word, Father God. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we bless you. Good morning, everybody. I played that first song. It's called You Are Worthy, and it's one of my most favorite songs that I like to play because we can't praise God enough. And sometimes it takes something to help us to enter in. And as we talk about prayer, we're going to learn more about how worship also can help ignite that prayer as well. So we'll be looking forward to more things in the future. But today we're just going to basically talk about the building a prayer life and teaching us how to pray. I don't really like to say the word teach, but sometimes it's necessary. There are a lot of people who they get saved or they've been in a walk with God for a while, but they sit down and they don't know how or what to say. I remember the first time that I decided to finally sit down and just go for it and pray. I didn't know what to do. And I was blessed because there was a real sweet lady. Her name is Elder Sharon. I remember she invited me to her house because she was an intercessor. And I used to sit and watch her pray all the time. And I used to think, God, I wish I could come before your throne like that. And I remember that I was sitting in my room one day, and I was in my early 20s, and I sat this teddy bear down on top of a little couch or something that I had in my room at the time. And I remember looking at that bear because I couldn't imagine sitting there holding a conversation with something that I could not see. And so that's a struggle for a lot of people. Most people would never admit that started off. Some people would just say, oh, well, it's easy for me. Well, it's not easy for everybody to sit down and go before the throne of grace, especially when you don't have a lot of knowledge on the scriptures and the Bible and know a lot about Jesus. It's very difficult to sit down after you've lived a life of sin and say, God, you know, are you going to listen to me now? You know, it's difficult, you know, depending on where you come from. Now, I was blessed. I grew up in the church, but there were times that I thought I'm not good enough to sit down and pray to our Savior. And that's the reason why I believe that the Lord have led, because I had desired to want to have that relationship with him. It was a desire for me. Not only was it that God called me to be an intercessor, but it was my desire to grow closer to him. And I'm so glad that I did. And so here I am to just kind of share my walk and what got me there. And I hope that it helps some of you that are out there to get to that place in God. So we're going to go from the book of Matthew. So if you go to Matthew chapter 6, time Jesus was sitting and he was talking with the people, and he was beginning to teach on prayer. It says in the 5th verse, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And the Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward those openly." Now, I'm just going to briefly talk about verses 5 and verses 6. When he was talking about, when Jesus was talking about in reference praying out and openly, it doesn't mean that you can't pray in public. It's just that there's a time and there's a place for it. And most people who get out and declare, you know, Jesus and pray in public, some people do it just to be seen. It's unfortunate, but it's the truth. We don't want to get in that place where we're doing things just to be seen. If God leads us to lay hands and pray on somebody, then so be it, because he does say that we don't, you know, you were ashamed of me in public. We don't want to be ashamed of Jesus. We want to be able to share his gospel. We want to be able to pray for those. It's just that when he's talking about those hypocrites, he's talking about the ones who, they don't really pray at home. They just want to get out there and pray out loud so that people can hear them. You know, that's not good. We don't want our reward to end there. You know, we want to be able to build a relationship with Jesus. And so when he says to go and pray in secret, he is just showing that where he's mentioning that he wants that intimate relationship with you. You know the secrets of your heart. If you're married, you know that you don't want to share with your husband your most deepest desires and the parts of your heart that you don't want anyone else to see. You want to be able to talk to your husband behind closed doors and have that intimate time. Well, Jesus wants that as well. He wants to know the deep parts of you. He wants to know, get intimate with you. He wants to have that relationship. Yes, he already knows us, but there's just something about being able to open up to him every single day and talk to him and walk with him. It just does something to our spirit. So that's the reason why he's saying to go in secret and pray. And in that secret places when he'll begin to reveal himself to you. As you give more to him, he'll start to reveal himself to you. So that's what those scriptures mean. But when you pray, verse 7, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask of him. One thing I like about this particular scripture, I didn't understand what that meant for a long time. Like, Lord, what do you mean by don't use vain repetition? Until there was one time I was sitting in, a Bible study, and I was so blessed by this lady who, she had to be about in her 70s. And I used to think, oh, well, if I sit down and pray, well, Lord, I'm going to have a whole lot to say, you know, and I want to sound good, you know, because that's what I thought it took in the very beginning. But after being an intercessor for over 15 years, it's just amazing to sit down and see where God transformed my life on this particular day. There was a lady, she was a senior citizen, and I remember she was praying, but all she said was, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And she said it over and over again, but there was a petition and something different about her prayer that the anointing and the Holy Ghost just fell all over that room, you know. So here we are thinking that it takes all these words. All you can get out is a word or two if you're really going through something. And that's okay, because God still hears that, and he can still work through that, and he can still use that. You know, he already knows what we need, so we don't have to go begging before the throne. We just go to God and we thank him for every situation, whether it's a painful situation, you know, whether it's a good situation. You know, he wants to know. Even if you're waking up today and just saying, God, you know, I need you, it's okay to say that. So, you know, we just want to get to where how I'm talking to you and how you talk to a friend or a spouse or a loved one or family members or a neighbor, whoever. We want to get to a place where the same way we're having a conversation with each other, we want to be where we're having that same type of conversation with our Lord and Savior. I used to think it sounded silly, like who sits there and just talks. But in the beginning, Adam walked with Jesus. He walked with him. He walked with God, you know, throughout the Garden of Eden every day. So I'm sure that his mornings were like, wow, isn't it beautiful today, Lord? Look around me at all these animals. Aren't they precious? You know, I'm sure that God had talked back to him and spoke with him. So that's the reason why when the sin did came, he's like, wait a minute, where did he go? Well, you know, even in your error and in your mistakes, God is still looking for us. He's still expecting us to come to him and talk to him, not to be ashamed, but to believe and know that his grace and his mercy is there. To believe and know that he loves us. He loves us in any way that he sees us anyway. So there's no sense in hiding. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to talk to him when we're angry. He wants us to talk to him when we're sad. He wants us to talk to him when we're happy. He wants us to talk to him when we're just feeling kind of like blah. When we're having our tough days, when we're really battling with something, he wants us to talk to him. When we go through sickness, when we go through diseases, he wants us to talk to him. You know, I remember when I got married and those marriage vows that say, for better or worse, through sickness and in health, you know, even in our marriages, we're required to continue and talk with each other and communicate with each other and stay with each other. Well, Jesus is expecting the same from that, from all of us, you know, to just spend that time with him, to be with him. So we pray and we seek him daily. And then after that, the disciples and those around us that wanted to know, to teach me how to pray, like, what do we say? What do we do? Well, there's no right or wrong way to enter into prayer with God, but he did give us a basic way. In verse 9, it says, after this manner, therefore you pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That beautiful prayer that Jesus spoke to us. It was just amazing because he was just giving us an outline of how to go before the Father if you don't know. But one thing that I've learned that it's more difficult to pray if you're hurt and you don't have, and you're just not forgiving whoever it is that hurt you or letting it go. When we come before God, we want to be able to give him our burdens. You know, we want him to give our cares and cast them all upon him so that he can free us. And he helps us to stay free. If you're harboring any unforgiveness or there's any sin that's in your life that's unrepented, it does make it difficult to pray. And I had to learn that for myself, sitting down in my prayer closet, and I was just like, wow, you know, what do I do? You know, I knew I was wrong, and I didn't know what it was that was holding me back from going before God, but it was because I had some unforgiveness in my heart. It's because I was still living in sin, and I didn't want to admit it, even though God can see all things. I didn't want to admit that I was hurt. I didn't want to admit that I was going through. It was just one of those times that it was just really difficult for me. So I like to encourage you that regardless of how you're feeling, pray and just go in and worship him first and honor him and tell him how beautiful he is and tell him how wonderful he is. See, these are the things that open up our heart. How you feel about God, let him know how you feel about him. If you think he's beautiful, say he's beautiful. If he's been precious to you, tell him he's precious. If you love him, tell him you love him. These are that worship will do that. And then once you enter in with the praise, then you want to start thanking him for all the wonderful things that you do have and thank him for your health. Thank him for your families. You know, just give him thanks and give him praise. These are the things that he needs to hear from us. And then after that, even if it hurts, repent. Start to repent and tell him that you're sorry. You know, help him to teach you how to forgive if you're holding on to unforgiveness. Help him to let him help you and guide you and show you the way. And you will feel that life, of that surge of life, you know, and you just feel so renewed. And also, you want to get into a place where you're reading his word. Sometimes, there's times that I've prayed and I had to, I just kind of felt like I didn't know what to do or what to say. And so I had to literally just sit there and say, okay, God, well, I don't know where to read. I don't know where to start. So here I am opening up my Bible. What do I do? I think that's almost every person who's a believer's hardest part of being saved is, where do I start reading, especially when it's new to you, you know? Well, there's nothing wrong with just picking a chapter if you have to and just start reading it. And then have you a highlighter ready, because if there's something in particular that sticks out and points to you, your direction, then you can highlight it and you'll know, because you'll just have this little fluttery feeling like, okay, you know, that word's for me. You want to make sure that you do that and take that time and moment, because that's God speaking to your heart and that's the way that he does it. So let him speak to you through his word that way. So just know that you can do that. Also, you want to make sure that it's something that you do every day. So as you pray, you want to make it a habit to also read your Bible. You can pretty much nowadays, with all this super amazing technology that we have, you can get online and use the Bible app on your phone. So there's access to the word all day long if you can't tote your Bible around everywhere. You know, we have tablets, we have cell phones, we have our book, we have all these, we have DVDs, we have CDs. You know, invest even in your ministry, invest in your churches. If there are DVDs and things like that that are available, invest in those things, because those are other ways that you can get the word, sow the word in your heart. The more that you sow the word in your heart, the better that you are, you know, the better off you are, the more life that you feel. So then difficult situations, they start to not faze you so much because you can trust in the Lord. So you want to be sure that you're having a continual walk with him, because he's faithful. He is so faithful. So you take your time and read those things and know that he is with us, and be confident that there isn't anything that you can say that's wrong, because God is awesome. His love and his mercy endure, so we don't have to worry about if we sound good, if we look good when we're doing it, because you're going to be in a private place with him anyway. So just know that you don't have to be stressed out or worried when it comes down to prayer. You just got to know that when you enter in with him, that he is listening, and he's always listening, and he's so faithful to listen to us all the time. So we're lucky, and we are a blessed people. We're blessed that he died on the cross. We're blessed that he thought about us. You know, we are blessed that that's what he came for, and there was nothing more. So just know that as we walk with him and that he's with us, know that he hears our cries. So I just want to reiterate that you can't go wrong going before the Father. So I'm going to stop, and I'm just going to let you listen to a song as we exit now. I thank you all for listening, but here's one of my most favorite songs. It's by Yolanda Adams. It's called Open My Heart. Listen to this song. Contemplate on it. I know it's an old song, but it's an awesome song. Contemplate on it and see where you really are, and take the time and challenge yourself to start with praying at least 5 to 15 minutes a day, and trust me, once the Holy Ghost hits you, you're going to continue on, and it's going to go in for hours. So God bless you, and I wish you the best. Now listen to Yolanda Adams, Open My Heart.
Alone in a room, it's just me and you. I feel so lost, 'cause I don't know what to do. Now what if I choose the wrong thing to do? I'm so afraid.
God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast today. I'll be tuned back in next Thursday at 8:30 Central Standard Time and 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. God bless you all. I pray each and every last one of you have a beautiful, beautiful day. God bless you all, and keep on praying.